Thank you for tuning into the Debbie Devotional Podcast, a monthly show focusing on Debbie prospects, strategies, and incoming rookies. Now here's your host.
Welcome back to the Debbie Devotional. I'm your host, Dynasty Coach A. And as always, I'm joined by Aaron Wilcox, 86. Unfortunately, we do not have Duchesne's with us once again. Hopefully, we'll get him back soon. But tonight, we are here to talk to you guys about some Debbie prospects. We actually made it back within a month. We did it. Aaron, I'm very excited that we actually stuck to our schedule this time. But yeah, we're here to talk about some 2024 prospects tonight because guess what? All of us are going through rookie drafts right now. A bunch of people are making trades, and I'm starting to see a lot more 2024 picks being moved, whether it be first, seconds, third, or fourths, or fifths, or whatever. But you start seeing those picks flying, and you need to know who the hell's going to be there, you know, when it's time to make those picks, or you know, should I trade away? Should I be making getting more of those 24 first? You know, whatever it may be. So we're going to try to inform you tonight. But like I said, I'm here with Aaron. How are you doing tonight, buddy? And you excited to dive into this 24 class?
Yeah, I am for sure. And you know, this 24 class should be interesting to talk about. A lot of unknowns, of course. We've only got 1 year of data on some of these guys. Should be interesting. But yeah, there's some promising prospects, that's for sure.
Absolutely. And so, you know, there's definitely more projecting going on than the last pod that we did where, you know, we're able to look at some of the stats, we're able to watch some of the film. And when I say we, of course, I do not mean myself when it comes to film watching. But, you know, with the 24 class, especially some of these wide receivers, some of the QBs, I mean, really any of the positions, you know, some of them just did not play, you know, or barely touched the field. And so, you know, they might have looked really good in the 20 plays that they were on the field, or they might have looked terrible. And, you know, just from the research that I've done, I don't know that it actually matters either way, you know, if it's such a small sample. I've seen players that look terrible and then go on to have great careers and vice versa. So, you know, it's important not to freak out about anything like that. And so we kind of just have to go back and look at the recruit scores, you know, and everything else. But obviously, Aaron, you have a lot more experience than I do with this kind of stuff. What are you looking for when you're doing this kind of ranking when you have prospects that just don't have a lot of college stats to go off of?
Yeah, that's a great question. And the biggest things for me is, you know, is there a good college system that they're in? Do they have maybe a lot of opportunity ahead of them? Yes, the recruit ranking does come into play. I mean, of course, the services that rank these kids, they're wrong sometimes, but it's obviously still a good thing to look at. And then also just seeing based on that limited production or maybe not so limited production that they've put out there in their first year. So those are some of the things I look for.
Definitely. And I've done a lot more recruit score, you know, scouting and stuff like that this year than I've ever done in my entire life. So I'm definitely using a lot of 247sports.com and getting all that kind of good stuff. But Toronto Dave wants to know when we are getting to Trevion Henderson. Very soon, Dave, very soon. We're going to go ahead and start with the QBs and we'll get into the running backs here in a little bit. But I know, you know, I'm going to let you start off with the QBs because I know you have one player in particular that you are very high on. And so why don't you go ahead and start us off with the tier one QBs, or you can just start with the one QB if you wanted to.
Yeah, I do only have one QB in that tier one. I mean, it's close, but Caleb Williams, who transferred from Oklahoma to USC this offseason to follow Lincoln Riley. And he's a guy who just, between his dual threat ability, he has a very good arm. He has enough size to for sure be an NFL prospect. I think he's going to put up some good numbers there. I mean, there's some questions about that offensive line, of course, but there's weapons to throw to. I'm not sure if they're going to get Addison, but at the end of the day, still a good receiving core. And I honestly trust that coach to develop good NFL quarterbacks. He's put out many good ones at Oklahoma. And I think Caleb Williams, who was a great recruit, is going to do the same. He came in there this year. He supplanted Rattler. And I know that wasn't so difficult to outshine Rattler this last year, but at the same time, with a guy in that system, being able to step up as a true freshman and flash like he did. Love Caleb Williams for sure. And he gives you a lot of upside on the NFL side with that rushing floor and ceiling.
Yeah, I think he did everything that we could have really asked for from him. And, you know, I love the fact that he's sticking in the same exact system. He even has some players that are moving with them, you know, from his old team. And so there's a lot to love about Caleb Williams. I'm really, you said he's a clear tier one and there's only, you know, the one in tier one. I'm really struggling with having another guy in that tier one. I know that there's some people that are kind of hit and miss with Quinn Ewers. But, you know, I think you kind of have to get excited, especially because, I mean, it's all hearsay and rumors at this point. But I've even heard that Jordan Addison could be possibly going to Texas at this point. And then, you know, that's just going to make Quinn Ewers even better because there's another wide receiver that we'll be talking about here in a little bit that's pretty exciting there. So, I'll go into Ewers a little bit more. I don't know, you know, a lot about the player, but looking at the recruiting score, it's one of the best, if not the best ever. You know, like it's basically a one. You know, it's about as good as you can get. You know, he came in extremely young. He skipped his senior year, if I remember correctly, and you know, went to Ohio State. But he was behind C.J. Stroud, Kyle McCord, you know, that we'll get into here in a little bit probably. And there just wasn't a lot for a 17-year-old, you know, to do. And, you know, it was probably going to be tough for him to start, even though, you know, maybe he wanted to. And then once the NIL deals and everything started hitting, he was gone and Texas came calling. Apparently, whether it's true or not, he always wanted to be at Texas. I think he was originally recruited at Texas. So, you know, that might be true. But point is, I think they're doing a lot of good things in Texas and just with the talent that he has. And the talent that they're surrounding him with, I could easily see him moving into that tier one, even if you don't want to put him in that tier one right now. But how do you feel about yours?
Yeah, absolutely. He could easily move into that tier one. I'm just hesitant to put him there just because we haven't seen him yet. And that makes it more risky. I mean, we've seen either limited sample size or we just haven't seen some guys we've propped up. And when I say we, I mean, just like the dynasty or the Devi community, the C2C community, we prop up guys like DJU, who we've only seen in such a limited sample, and they flash these great, you know, high school abilities, but we just don't know exactly how that's going to translate to the college game. And, you know, I fully anticipate yours being able to win that job and, you know, put up some pretty good stats. Like you said, they're building the team the right way. They have weapons there. I am pretty high on that offense overall. I haven't quite seen it, so that's why he's just underneath Caleb Williams in that tier two. And I couldn't justify drafting Quinn Ewers in the first round of a startup, in my opinion.
And Deshane's is trying to get ahead of us as well. He's asking Ewers or Braylon Allen. We'll get into Braylon Allen in a little bit. Right now, we're sticking with the QBs. But I really do think it would be difficult for me to have anyone else above yours. You know, do you feel the same way at this point? You know, I know, like you said, we haven't seen him, but I mean, when we're talking about classes 2 years in the future in college, I mean, that's what we have to do here. Our job is to project.
Yeah, and what's the question? Could anybody rise above yours besides?
No, I mean, as of right now, would you have anybody over yours?
Just Caleb Williams. Yep, that's it.
Okay. I meant anybody else, of course. So I really do think that's the clear top two, the clear top tier, if you will. But then I actually have another player that I'm pretty excited about. I don't remember if I talked about this on any of the pods that we've done in the past, but for a while I was really getting into doing high school stats for the QBs and putting that into my model. And I kind of tweaked the model to make it work for high school and everything. And there's some interesting results at the very least. And so like, I really haven't looked at it in a while, but I went back and now that I know so much more about these prospects and who they are, and even some of them have played that, you know, hadn't played last year when I actually made all this stuff. I'm seeing like some of it's pretty, like it's pretty accurate. It's high school stats. So it can only be so accurate. But, another player that I really, really like based on his high school stats has a great recruit score and has gone into what I consider, at least, you know, has put out some like good systems, put out some good players recently, is Drake May. And so I really do like him. I don't know how you feel about him. But he's one that stood out in that high school model as much as that as much as that matters.
Yeah, I mean, I did not expect him to be the next guy up, but at the same time, he is then. Well, he's either in that next tier or the tier below for me. I think he is actually a tier below the next couple of guys, but at the same time, he has a lot of opportunity ahead of him. And like you said, I mean, UNC, I mean, Howell was a good prospect. The NFL didn't agree with that. And, you know, I just don't know if we can expect Drake May to outproduce what Howell did. Because Howell, like we said, I mean, good prospect, really good production. He didn't go off his last year in college, which definitely cost him, right? That he struggled a little bit more and that team overall struggled. So while I think that the offense may improve in the next year or two at UNC, I have some issues projecting him to be better than Howell was. Sorry.
he really doesn't like May.
My puppy hates May. It's true. No, but at the same time, May has better NFL size too. So we should be considering that maybe the NFL will say, okay, he's a prototypical franchise QB, right? 6'5", 215 plus pounds. So May has that going for him at least. So if he can show off even a better arm than Howell did, I think there's some reasons why maybe May could be valued more highly by the NFL compared to Howell. If we are just, you know, making that one example or that one comparison of a guy within that system recently.
Yeah, and I agree. And honestly, I have the next three players all pretty close. So, I mean, and once again, we're projecting here. So I don't have like a strong stance on any of them. None of them have really done much, if anything, in the college systems that they're in so far. So, you know, it maybe, like you said, you know, maybe North Carolina hasn't exactly been this powerhouse. It's like, you know, pushing people in or pushing players into the first round of the NFL draft so far. But, you know, I also think that, like you said, there could be other reasons why Sam Howell fell, you know, and maybe, you know, the comparison isn't, you know, because of North Carolina or anything like that. So who would you have in that next spot, in that third spot there?
Yeah, I have a hard time differentiating the next two guys, but Jackson Dart, who was at USC and then now transferred to Ole Miss, and then Tyler Buckner, Notre Dame quarterback, he's also in the running for that third spot. So I have both those guys in that next tier, and I think that they can provide good college production and then also that NFL upside.
All right, and I know, I guess, I feel like I'm one of the lowest people on Jackson Dart. I don't know what it is. You know, I don't want to go too much off of stats, but when these quarterbacks do put up stats and we're able to look at what they've done, even if it's only 1 year, we can still see Jackson Dart didn't really do all that great. And so, you know, I understand he's going into a completely different system. Hopefully, and maybe even definitely, things will be better for him. I have no issues with him being, you know, in that next tier, but I just feel like, as far as talent wise, I feel like maybe some of the other guys have a better shot at being better. You know, maybe being going to Ole Miss and everything, like maybe he'll have a better shot of actually being drafted than some of these other guys like a Drake May. But I just don't know that I truly believe that Jackson Dart's going to be good. And I mean, once again, going back to the high school model, not that, you know, not that it's the end all be all, but he was more of like a mid guy, like, you know, nothing like 50 percentile or something like that. And not to say that there are no hits down there, but there's definitely few and far between with a lot of the guys that I've compared from past classes and stuff like that. And then when he goes and doesn't really have a spectacular year one, it kind of, you know, gives me that like confirmation bias, whether it's right or wrong.
Yeah, those are some good points. And I need to go back and look at Jackson Dart's, you know, high school production then too, because I was under the impression he was a pretty dominant player in high school. So that's a good point. And I also question his arm strength at times too. And we just know how much the NFL drools over some of these guys with big arms. So yeah, I could definitely see him sliding down. I don't think he's very safe. So he's certainly a tier break after those top guys. That's for sure. And then Tyler Buckner, I'm curious if you also like him for Notre Dame, but if you like guys who put up prolific high school statistics, Buckner was one who he blew up. I mean, I understand that, you know, his last three seasons, he's only played one season of football, right? The torn ACL, then an amazing high school junior season with 81 total touchdowns, but then he didn't play his senior year because of COVID and whatnot, and then played just a little bit as a true freshman. So he's really hasn't played a lot, but the year he did play, he showed just excellent mobility and he was just a machine. So I'm curious your thoughts on him.
Yeah. And like you said, Buckner definitely stands out. I have him higher than Jackson Dart, but I still don't have him in that same tier. And it was kind of my reasoning was kind of what you were talking about with Drake May. It's like, how many stud QBs have come out of Notre Dame recently, you know, or you know, really, I don't want to say any players, but, you know, like there haven't been too many amazing players coming out of Notre Dame, even though they, you know, they've been good. They've had good teams and, you know, they've even made it into, you know, like high up into the standings and stuff like that. So, you know, maybe this will be the difference. And he definitely did put up some really good stats in high school, you know, even if it was only for a season or so. So he does show up there. Maybe he's one that I need to move up in my ranks because I have two more guys ahead of him. But actually, I mean, he's kind of a teardrop for me. So like maybe, like you were saying, maybe that's another one that I need to look into and see if maybe I need to move him up. But I was just kind of looking at Notre Dame and just thinking, you know, I don't know if that's going to be the powerhouse school that's going to get him drafted first overall or anything. You know?
Yeah. And I can appreciate that with schools. And we only have limited ability to really project with the school thing too, because when a really good guy comes along, regardless of the school, right? I mean, there's numerous examples of guys who went to, you know, schools that don't really matter. Or, I mean, you know, they don't compete for national championships or they don't put out prospects every year. That have succeeded. So I think that's definitely a piece of the puzzle. It's one of the things I mentioned right away that I look for, some of the programs that consistently can cultivate that talent and that NFL evaluators like. But at the end of the day, I also think that Buckner is an example of a guy who could be special enough where they don't even care about where he goes to school. It's a big enough program. So that's more where my mindset's at with him in particular.
Yeah, and to be fair with the high school model, Buckner is a couple spots ahead of Drake May, who's one spot ahead of Justin Herbert. So you know, that kind of gives you an idea of the company that they're in right there. You know, so I really like both prospects, but like I said, maybe I need to move him up. Who would you have there in your spot four?
Yeah, and for me, some debate on this could be Drake May. I actually had Kyle McCord, and who's currently at Ohio State, but I think he's just going to be blocked another year, and that's very difficult. Like, Drake May could really see his value improve this season, and Kyle McCord's unlikely to have that happen. So that's another case of, yes, I can swap him around. I can move him around the tier. I really like Kyle McCord's talent, but he's also not a very mobile quarterback, so I'm not sure how much for fantasy. You know, if he's Mac Jones, upside-wise, it's a good player, but is that a league-changing type of player? I'm not sure. So maybe Kyle McCord might need to move down, but right now he's my number four quarterback. Number five quarterback in that tier.
Yeah, I have McCord right there. I had one guy ahead of him, but I'm thinking, you know, you were saying before how like the schools don't necessarily matter, but when you're talking about a team like Ohio State, you know, maybe it does. So, you know, I'm thinking I need to move him up to four and then drop this player down to five, but they're really close. I mean, it's you're honestly at this point, like I really have no like strong opinion about who's going to be the better one. You know, we just need to wait and see what's going to happen. But the fourth guy for me, who I'm probably going to drop down to five now, is JJ McCarthy from Michigan. And I know that I know Michigan doesn't exactly, once again, with the schools and everything, isn't really like doing the best with, you know, producing the best players. But I mean, he was a five-star prospect, really liked him in the high school model, like put up, you know, amazing high school stats. And, you know, like I just really like what I saw from that. He hasn't done all that much, so it's kind of hard to go off of too much, you know, statistically or anything like that from college. But, you know, he's 6'3", 190, maybe 200. I don't know what he is now. I think that was coming out of high school. So, you know, you kind of expect for him to bulk up a little bit. So he has good size. That five-star prospect profile and everything. So what do you think about McCarthy?
And if he could start there, I probably would be much more excited, but I just don't have confidence that they're actually going to hand him the job this year. They just seem very complacent, very comfortable with Cade McNamara, who's not a pro prospect. He's not like this great talent. J.J. McCarthy, like you said, I mean, he's a good talent, but I really don't know if he plays this season. And that's a big red flag for me at Michigan. It's not like Michigan, like we've talked about, is developing all these NFL quarterbacks. And I know they had a good team this last season, but I'm a little bit wary on McCarthy. So I have questions there of his play style even too. So he's QB 11 in this class for me. So I am a bit lower on him. I don't hate him though.
If he's not going to start, then it makes perfect sense. You know, I guess I didn't even realize that I was doing a little bit of research on him. Obviously, you know, I looked up, a lot of info about his recruit star, status and everything like that. But I didn't really see too much about, like, is he going to win the job or anything? So I guess I kind of assumed he was, he already had the job. But obviously, that might be my fault for not looking into it enough. I do love the talent. But if he doesn't win the job, then I can't have him that high. And that would be my fault for that one.
And you would assume that the coaching, rational coaching would prioritize something like that, given the higher recruits, given this guy with a lot of talent, the opportunity, but that just might not happen there, honestly. So I don't blame you for maybe projecting that he could win that job too.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's definitely a good point. And that, once again, that this is a perfect example of how difficult it can be to project some of these guys, because if you don't know everything that's going on, some of these players, maybe not the QBs as much, maybe a couple of them, but like later on when we get into the running backs and wide receivers, you're looking at spring games trying to figure out, are they going to be the starter? Do they have a shot of being the starter, and so on and so forth. So, I mean, it can be tough even when you're doing all the right things and researching and all that. There's not always a guarantee that you know who the starter is or, if this person's going to get the job. And especially now that they can basically transfer whenever they want, you don't even know which team they'll be on either.
Yeah, and one thing that I've learned from this transfer rule is just because it seems like Kyle McCord is blocked, just because it seems like Jermaine Burton from Georgia is never going to do anything, a talented kid, a talented recruit at least, then they can transfer to Alabama and start. It's crazy with the transfer rules. So I guess I'm not writing off guys who maybe aren't in the best situation, as the transfers could happen. But I also don't know if a J.J. McCarthy would transfer when they're kind of leaving that quarterback competition open. They're not maybe announcing a starter quite yet.
Yeah, and that's definitely true. Now for me, that's a pretty big tier break after those guys. Is that the same for you, or do you have anybody else that's in that kind of like second tier there?
Yeah, that's the same for me. Besides, I could slot Jalen Milroe, Alabama quarterback, in there. I was not sold on him, to be honest. I've just moved him up basically because a lot of other people in the community, are in the C2C Debbie community, are really excited about him and his play this spring. It really seems like he has a good grasp on that backup job and could be the next guy up after Bryce Young. But I mean, who knows? Somebody could transfer in ahead of Milroe. I'm not that convinced that Milroe's this super technical player by any means, but he has that scrambling ability. He has that mobility that we really can like at times, but at the same time, is he a good enough quarterback? Not sure. So yeah. I'm torn on him. He's certainly a candidate here though.
Yeah. For me with Milroe, I think I looked at the situation and I could be very wrong here, but I just didn't think that he was ever going to be a starter for Alabama. I just don't see it. I don't see it in the high school stats. Once again, that's not the end all be all, but he needs to take a big jump, which he can, but he needs to take a big jump from what he has been to what he can be or should be or whatever, in order to be the starter. And so I kind of just need to see something, like whether they throw him in with some packages or something like that. I just need to really see something for me to jump him up, because right now I have him there at like the 8, 9, 10, 11, like range. So I'm definitely not ready to move him into that second tier or anything like that yet.
Right. And for me, I mean, that's already tier five we're talking about with Milroe. So,
That's basically where I have him, but
yeah, right. So he could be between QB six ish to QB 12. So big range there in that tier. And like you said, I don't know if we're being premature moving him up. You want to see something showing that he's actually progressed as a passer. Because, I mean, that's the most important thing for a quarterback, right? Are you, first of all, a good passer? Then the rushing is a bonus. Instead of propping up guys like Malik Willis, who are, you know, not really a good passer in the first place, but saying, oh, no, it's all rushing. Rushing's fine. Rushing's what we're looking for. It's like, let's make sure that they are a good passer as well. And sometimes you'll miss on a Josh Allen type of prospect who was not really that great of a passer. But, you know, he's an outlier. There's a reason why we don't always chase after those guys.
Actually, Josh Allen was interesting because he actually looked pretty good. Not amazing or great or anything like that, but pretty good in the high school stats. So that's kind of interesting. Now, we know he looked terrible at JUCO and in college. So it's kind of interesting, and I don't know why. And, I mean, he even looked terrible at the beginning of his NFL career. But, you know, here he is now looking pretty damn good. So it's kind of interesting to go back and look at this stuff, like I said, because it sticks pretty close to, you know, like, these guys are good, these guys are bad. And, you know, there's some that can, like, be hits per se, but not really, like, amazing. And they're usually lower, you know, but, like, they're kind of in the middle. So it's fun to look at. It's something that I might, now that I've kind of looked back at it and seen that it's somewhat accurate, at least, it's something that I'll probably continue doing just because, you know, it's interesting at the very least. But it could very well be something that helps with my accuracy of getting these recruits in the right spots. But, you know, I already messed up with McCarthy. So why don't you go ahead and tell me your next guy, and then I'll let you know where I have him.
Yeah. Well, I have a bunch of guys here, so maybe I'll just go through some of the guys that I think are definitely worth mentioning. It's Ty Thompson. So just like McCarthy, is he going to win the job at Oregon? It sounds like Bo Nix is winning that job. So that's really quite unfortunate. Sam Heward, Washington, another guy I'm unsure if he's actually going to win that job. I think he has a better shot at doing so. And, you know, he was a good recruit. I'm not sure that I ever bought into the hype. And honestly, a couple other guys that I have in that area, but I'm not that excited about, you know, as we start getting down into these guys. So let me know if there's anybody else that you're excited about, but that's about it. I have a bunch more guys ranked here, but not necessarily guys I really want to go into that much.
I 100% agree. Heward and Thompson were my next two QBs on the list. So that makes me feel a lot better. And actually, I did look up the Thompson one and realized that it didn't look like he was at least guaranteed the starting job. So at least I was up to date on that one. But I do have him there. But I actually have, and this is probably where we differ, I actually have him tied with Jackson Dart. And so I just, once again, I don't know that Dart has the talent. He probably has the opportunity, but I don't know that he actually has the talent to be at that top tier. And I feel like all those other guys, you know, maybe McCarthy's not going to get the shot, but I feel like he has the talent to be that top tier guy if he does get the shot. And I also feel like if he doesn't get it this year, then maybe he would transfer out. I mean, you know, because like at that point, you just feel like you're wasting the talent. But that was the last two guys that I ranked at this point. I'll probably, because I have a C2C draft coming up here pretty soon, so I'll probably have to, you know, do even more research on some of these guys that I should care about a little bit more. But as far as the 24 class went, that's where I stopped. So that's probably a good time to go ahead and transition into the running backs, and we can finally answer the Braylon Allen versus Quinn Ewers question from Duchesne's earlier. But why don't you go ahead and start us out? I think the number one option is pretty obvious here.
Yes, number one is very obvious. And I guess just to give people one more name at quarterback before we transition, Clay Millen transferring over to Colorado State from Nevada. It's going to be an air raid offense. I mean, probably more of a C2C type of quarterback where he can give you that college fantasy football production. But at the end of the day, that's just another name to note. But if we're talking running backs, Travion Henderson, easily atop that class. And then that's the tier for me. I mean, he's the top guy. He's a stud. He was a great recruit coming out. Just some of the most just dominating high school film you ever watch, put up great stats. And then now he's 5'10", 215. So he's already NFL feature back size. And we know that he has the athleticism, the school, et cetera, all of that to back up him as a great, great prospect. And he doesn't have a notable injury history. He has zero injury history that I know of as far as significant things. So I like Henderson quite a bit.
Yeah, I don't think there's much more to be said. I have him in the same exact tier as Bijan. Obviously different classes there, but I mean, everything that he's done, if anything, he has, it's comparing one season versus two, and that might not be fair. And it's also comparing different offenses and so on and so forth. But he might actually even have a little more burst than Bijan does, just from looking at statistically, you know, like looking at the amount of 20-yard breakaway runs that he has and everything. It could be the system, it could be the offense, but either way, he's producing. And, you know, we're not necessarily comparing the classes here, but I'm just saying he's in that same tier. I feel great about him. There's no one else that's close to him in this class as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, that's fair. And I think the statistics really back that up, or at least they align with what you see out there on the field. I mean, he's just a home run threat. And Bijan's a little bit more of a physical back, not quite that same home run threat. And that's not a knock on Bijan. That's just a different, you know, way that they play. And so, I mean, I'm not a guy who's just going to throw out these comps like he's going to be this player, but it's like Bijan, I mean, he'll be like Zeke, right? This great prospect out there. He can carry a huge workload. He's a beast, but Zeke's not necessarily a guy who's always ripping off like 60 yard runs.
Yep.
That's like a Saquon Barkley. So, I mean, maybe you could say Henderson's more on that Barkley line, right? Versus, I don't know. That's if you like the comp thing. So that just gives people maybe a style to look at with these players.
And I definitely agree. I see it. I mean, they're, you know, and like those were great comps there, because not necessarily comping the players, but just saying like you can have two different players that are still amazing, you know, completely different prospects, completely different styles and whatever, but they're just really good. Now, for me, I recently had the next player a little bit lower. I went back and looked into his stats. I know, everyone's fallen all over the receiving profile of these running backs and everything, so I don't necessarily love that part of his game, but Braylon Allen jumped up to that second tier for me and my running back two in the class recently. I don't know if you're there or not. I know there's some other good running backs that are pretty close to him, so it's not like he's, you know, heads and shoulders above everyone else or anything like that, but the only thing I really see, because, I mean, he has the size. As far as I know, he has the speed, you know, like he doesn't really get the breakaway runs like a Travion does or anything like that. But I mean, he's shown the ability to get first downs, you know, break tackles, so on and so forth. The only thing you really don't see from him is the receiving game. And I know he transitioned from a linebacker, I believe. So I know that he, you know, that could be something he works on, and maybe he will, maybe he won't. But sometimes when you get a 232-pound running back that can just run like hell, you just go draft that guy.
Right. And especially as we're so recently away from when Jonathan Taylor came out of Wisconsin, right? We're kind of expecting this guy to put up, you know, maybe 3 years of studly production there and then head into the NFL with such a great profile, great size adjusted athleticism, because he does have pretty good long speed for the size, right? And yeah, he's not Travion fast, but he's also, I mean, he moves just fine for 238 pounds. He's a big guy, right? He's super strong. And he needs to actually translate that to the field more often, you know, play a bit more functionally powerful as far as using that power to really get him more yards or get guys off of him and stay up. Those are some critiques I have, but I mean, he transitioned from being a linebacker to running back. He's going to have some learning to do at the position. So I like Braylon Allen. He's in that tier two. I'm totally with you there. He's actually my RB4, but it's a very slim margin, a very small difference between those couple backs.
Yeah, and I think for a lot of people, it's going to be that receiving profile part of the game. you know, in, or, you know, it could just be question marks of is he going to continue doing what he was doing, or, you know, whatever it might be. Or maybe they just want to see it, you know, a little bit more. But, I mean, statistically, the dude showed out. You know, he only had the 8 receptions, so not the greatest, but hopefully that's something he can work on. But like I said, the next 3 guys for me are all in the same tier. So you having them there at 4, not really that different. The next 2 guys for me were Will Shipley and Donovan Edwards. Are we on the same page here?
Yep, we are. I have Shipley at 2, Donovan Edwards at 3. I could easily switch it around. I just see Donovan Edwards having a bit more competition with Blake Corum being there. And there's even another back that I'm not sure if we'll talk about him very much. And I'm actually blanking on the name right now. But, you know, is there going to be a timeshare? Oh, yeah, at Tavier Dunlap, I believe it is at Michigan. But anyways, maybe some crowded competition there. But at the end of the day, Donovan Edwards is a stud. Loved him coming out. And then Will Shipley, another good back coming out of Clemson. So I like both of those guys in that tier too. What are some things, if anything, that sticks out with them?
Yeah, the funny thing is I actually have them tied. They're a perfect tie in the model. So that's kind of funny to me. And so I guess I literally have them 3 and 3. So, you know, it's kind of the same things that we're talking about, where they don't have, you know, like these overly what's the word I'm looking for? They don't have, you know, complete profiles or anything like that, obviously, you know, that they haven't done quite enough. And with Donovan Edwards, you know, he had Blake Corum there. He had other running backs there. So it's hard to say what he could do if he got the full workload. But we also know that he's probably not going to get the full workload, you know, at this point, unless we get an injury or something like that. So I am doing a terrible job of filibustering because I'm trying to find where he is in the model so I can tell you exactly, you know, what stands out, and I cannot find him. So why don't you talk about him for a second, and then I'll let you know how I feel.
No, you're good. You're good. But I mean, I love both the guys. I guess Will Shipley is the one where he flashed as a true freshman. He put up really good statistics, right? 700 plus yards, 11 rushing touchdowns. He's already getting involved in the receiving game. And he comes in with running sub 4.5s as far as speed wise. So, I mean, he's got a lot of athletic traits that you like, and he's a white running back. He has really good pass catching ability. So naturally his comp is Joe Mixon. No, but I actually think that he plays somewhat similar to Joe Mixon. And I've seen that out there at least. And yeah, I'm on board with it, but he needs to fill out the frame a bit more. I'm sure he will. And I love Shipley, and then versus Donovan Edwards. I mean, I just love the receiving profile, 265 receiving yards being used on the outside as a receiving back. And I mean, everybody was after Donovan Edwards. So don't knock him because he's at Michigan, because Alabama wanted him. Other top schools wanted him. He was a 5-star recruit amongst many ranking services. And he's apparently a 4.4 guy. And I believe it. He has good burst and acceleration, and he's pretty sudden for kind of a taller back. And his frame, I mean, he's already at 200, so I'm not concerned about him bulking up to a feature size. So both of those guys kind of check off a lot of boxes as far as early production, size-wise. Are they pass-catching, or do they have that as a talent? So, yeah, those are some reasons why those guys pop for me.
Yeah, I appreciate you filling in. I still could not find it. I have no idea what happened to the something happened to Will Shipley here in my model, because it's giving me the like divide by zero function. So either I screwed something up or something's going on. So it's hard for me to say from that. But, you know, I do know, obviously, you know, he led the Tigers, you know, with everything, whether it be rushing, receiving, from the running back position. And so it's just, as far as I'm concerned, the next two backs, like you said, are Shipley and Donovan Edwards. After that, we have a pretty big teardrop for me. And then hopefully I'll actually be able to find some of these guys so I can talk about them.
I suppose we should help out our buddy Duchesne's, because he's really debating Braylon Allen versus Quinn Ewers. And you know what? Him and Omega have that decision coming up in a C2C draft that we're in together. So I believe they have the 101, and that's the dilemma that they're sitting at. And it's a super flex format. So of course, you know, yours is insanely valuable in that format. I'm actually leaning like, give me Braylon Allen, give me that feature back who's already done it. I think he's going to at least be a day two pick at the NFL level. He's going to give you some great college production. I just am not so sold that Quinn Ewers is as safe. So he has a lot of upside. I wouldn't blame you for picking Ewers, but I'm going to go Braylon Allen as far as my recommendation. And no, I am not trying to, you know, pull a fast one on you because we're in the same league there, Deshane's. That's the guy that I would recommend, but it's close.
Yeah, and I'd probably tend to agree. You know, I think it's a lot. You're a lot, or it's a lot better of a bet to go with the running back in that situation. You know, he's probably going to be drafted, you know, in a better situation, or you know, help a team more than the QB would. And we haven't seen Ewers do it, even though I do believe he will. And I feel like he's set up to do it. But the good news is I actually did find Shipley. I was on the wrong page. I need to clean that up. But thank God I found Shipley and Edwards. And one of the things that I look at with these running backs is PPR points per touch. I really like to see, you know, can they score points, you know, in college, because that's going to help them do it, or at least show that they can do it in the NFL. And with Shipley, he's right up there with Braylon Allen as far as what he gets in points per touch. And then Donovan Edwards is even higher than Trevian Henderson as far as points per touch. Now, there's obviously other things that go into the model than just points per touch, or else I would have Donovan Edwards up above Trevian Henderson, obviously. So it's not that, you know, we can't have... Sorry, my daughter was projecting something into the room. But But I do love seeing the ability to score points there. So I really like, that's one of the things that is standing out for the two of them. And obviously that's not something you can necessarily quantify with film and everything, but I'm sure you probably see that, you know, on the tape as well.
Oh, absolutely. So yeah, I like that analysis.
All right. So like I said, it's a pretty big teardrop from them to the next guy for me. And I know it's somebody that we kind of talked about in the past, because I told you that I was going to the Outback Bowl this past year. And I said, you know, who do I need to check out? And you told me you need to, you know, you can go be excited about Raheem Sanders. He's the next running back for me in the bunch. Obviously didn't have a lot of play at Arkansas this past season, but, you know, I believe he's going to be the next in line to do it. Do you think this is too high, or is this around where you would have him as well?
So I have him in this next tier. I think that's very fair. He's at RB6 for me, so I have one guy ahead of him slightly. But I think Raheem Sanders next is, yeah, a good call. Good athletes, really good production right away. And he comes in with some receiving upside, right? So I really love that as far as running back prospects. And I think he's a smooth athlete, right? Bursty, smooth, receiving chops, size. I mean, those are a lot of nice things going against SEC competition. I think he's a little Antonio Gibson-like, but he's going to have a better running back profile than Gibson did. Because, I mean, Gibson, he really was a gadgety type of player, and Raheem Sanders will not be that. I hope he develops. He needs to continue developing at the running back position. And there was a podcast, I think it was Noah Hills with Campus to Canton. He was putting out a profile about Raheem Sanders, and there are some, I guess, you know, things analytically from his year one production that point to him not actually being one of the better running backs on the team. But I just don't know. I think there's room for him to improve as well, and I think the NFL is going to look at a lot of those factors that I mentioned and really salivate over Raheem Sanders. Rocket Sanders is his nickname, and he might rocket up ADP if he has a big year. So he's got competition in that backfield. That's maybe another reason why I don't know if we'll see him ascend to that tier one or tier two. He does have to compete against like AJ Green. There's Dominic Johnson. There's a couple guys there. So Arkansas does have talent, but I think that Raheem Sanders should step up as a lead guy, and some of the talent left this offseason too. So he at least should be like a 1A, 1B in that offense and put up some nice numbers.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I'm at as well. Like you said, he has the size, you know, 6'2", like 225, whatever he is. He'll probably grow from there. I mean, he could be 240 by the time he hits the NFL. And, you know, whether you like that profile or not, he does need to kind of take another step. And that's why he's here in that tier three for me. You know, he's not overly exciting, but, you know, he could be that kind of guy that, you know, that makes to the NFL and, you know, gets to like a team where he could maybe be a backup or like you said, like maybe even like a 1B or something in an NFL offense. I could definitely see that, or, you know, like a first and second down kind of guy. But he could also take a leap. He hasn't done that much. He's only had 114 touches. You know, maybe he goes out and does a little more. And he does. He had 11 receptions last year. So he only had, he had 125 touches last year. But, you know, 125 touches, he had 11 receptions in that. So, I mean, if he gets 200 touches, you know, maybe we're talking about a 20, 25 reception kind of guy. And maybe it looks like he has a little bit more of like a full workhorse back kind of profile at that point. I guess we just kind of need to see it. And then he could possibly move up at that point. But who did you have there at your fifth spot? Because you said you had one guy ahead of him.
I have Byron Cardwell, Oregon back. And I know some people have been putting out there that they're nervous about, I guess, his share of the offense. You know, why are these transfer running backs coming in? And I would be nervous if it was Zach Evans coming in, right? A great back. That's established in college football, but you know, the guys coming in are not that concerning. And there's all these guys leaving, right? I mean, there's Travis Dye going to USC. There's CJ Verdell going to the NFL, and the rest of the guys there are just Jags in my opinion. And I think Byron Cardwell is a step above them. So he was a good recruit, right? He's a high 4-star top 15 guy in the class, feature back size, 6 foot, 210, and he quietly accumulated 417 yards, pretty good yards per carry as a true freshman. And I think he's still got fine burst. I don't think he's a special talent. So I'm not sure if he's going to test that well. He might be a 4 or 5 guy in that range, but I also don't think he's a plotter either. He's very patient. He's going to follow blockers extremely well. So I've been pretty high on him this offseason. I know a guy you recently had on the podcast, Nelly at Analytics. He's been into Cardwell, and I tend to agree there. In 2022, Oregon's returning 4 offensive line starters, so he's going to have a good offensive line to run behind, and that makes a difference. And competition-wise, I know they're bringing in another recruit, Jordan James, who's solid, but I mean, the spring camp praise has just been high for Byron Cardwell. So don't get too concerned about all these guys transferring in who should be depth backs. We shouldn't expect any college back to have like 90, 100% of the touches in a backfield. That's just not realistic. So yeah, I like Byron Cardwell next at my RB5 spot.
Yeah. And he's at 6 for me, like right below Sanders in that same tier. So you know, it's not, I think the biggest thing that drops him down below Sanders for me is just the fact that he only had 3 receptions or 4 receptions, and he only had 3 yards on those 4 receptions. So, you know, like that receiving profile is not there. But one thing, you know, I was talking about the breakaway run rate earlier with some of these other running backs, and one thing really stands out for him is that breakaway run rate. Now, it was high with the very minimal touches, so I mean, that could easily change, you know, if you give him a full workload. But I do think that he has that ability to get those breakaway runs. He has a good BMI, you know, he has that PPR points per touch right around that same range as like a Braylon Allen, Will Shipley. So we kind of, a lot of the things that I like to see, he doesn't quite have the receiving profile, and you know, he only averaged like 30 scrim yards per game. So, you know, he didn't do a lot, but he just wasn't given the opportunity to do a lot. So he's another one that, if he does what he did efficiency wise, but all of a sudden is getting 200 touches or more, I could see him skyrocket into another tier, you know, pretty easily, but we just need to kind of see it at this point.
Yeah, that's fair. And he should get the opportunity. I think the coaching staff in there is going to be willing to run the ball for sure.
All right. So another one that drops down a tier, but not too far from Cardwell for me, is LJ Johnson Jr. I don't know. Actually, I guess I have LJ Johnson Jr., Devin Neal, Joshua McCray. Any of those standing out for you, or do you have some other guys ahead of those guys?
Yeah, McCray's not on there for me, but I will say that Devin Neal's right there. He's that next guy. And then LJ Johnson, he has slid down to RB16 for me. And the reason why is because there's not only did he, you know, really not do anything as a freshman, right? He had 76 yards for 3.6 yards per carry and just a single reception, right? But he also has made zero noise in camp. There's just crickets. And I don't know. I mean, I didn't love him coming out. I know there was a lot of people that did. It sounds like you liked some aspects of his profile probably coming out. I just saw on film, like, he was talked or rumored to have run a 4.42. I'm like, he looks like a 4.6 guy or a 4.55 guy or something like that. And I thought he was fine elusive wise, but I think he was more like James Robinson, like, you know, like not this difference making back, for example. So I'm a bit lower on him, especially because there's not very much praise coming out of camp. At the same time, I mean, I love a chain. I don't know if a chain is going to be a feature back, so there is some room for an additional guy to get some carries. Johnson could be it. I just am not sure. And I've seen him fall in a lot of people's ranks. So he's one that, you know, if you get him really cheap and then he pans out, that's a huge profit. So that could be nice.
Yeah, and like you said, he really hasn't done much. So this one's more a projection. So, you know, it might be another one that I need to work on. And maybe dive a little bit more into what's going on with that team. I guess, you know, like you said, I wasn't assuming that a chain was going to run with, you know, the entire backfield and everything. So I kind of see the opportunity there, but, you know, that doesn't necessarily guarantee that it's going to be Johnson there. I'm glad we agree on Neal. And then you said McCray is not there for you. What was he ever there for you, or is it somebody that just hasn't done it for you at all?
Yeah, he's off my radar, and I don't know why I haven't really looked into him more. I have quite a few backs ranked here, but I will talk about Devin Neal, Kansas. And
sure.
I mean, it made me really sad when I had to trade him away in my C2C league. I was like, ugh, it was worth it in the end, but ultimately great production as a true freshman. He was a good recruit coming out. He's just this versatile athlete out there and pretty explosive too, as far as like vertical jump coming out of high school, decent enough speed. So he has, I think, the total package, honestly. I think he'll be a good receiver. He has nice vision, patience. He's fairly elusive. And the coaching staff makes me think that they're just going to want to run it all the time. I wonder if there's going to be a little bit of a split in the backfield. They brought in Kai Thomas, who is a back for Minnesota. Not that that makes him just some great back by any means, but Minnesota has been churning out these guys who are fairly good for college production. So, you know, Devin Neal is certainly worthy of being a top 10 back in this 2024 class, in my opinion.
I agree. And, you know, I was looking at McCray a little bit more while you were talking, and, you know, maybe, I don't know, maybe he shouldn't even be up here as much. He's huge. He's 6'1", 240. Doesn't really profile as a receiving back from what he's done so far, at least. You know, he did pretty well at Illinois, but he didn't even beat out the senior that was ahead of him that probably, you know, obviously wasn't good enough to make it to the NFL. So, you know, I don't know that, I mean, not that he's high. I mean, he's here in tier four for me. So, you know, he's not like overly high or anything, but maybe he needs to drop down a little bit from there. But honestly, that's kind of where I fall off. You know, I'm no longer like overly excited about any of these players. Is there anyone that you truly feel like we need to talk about for this 24 class as far as the running backs are concerned?
Yeah, those other guys. If I had to say one guy that I think we need to talk about, somebody who I have in this tier three as a top eight back in this class is Evan Pryor, Ohio State. And I realize that he's blocked behind Travion Henderson. He may have to wait till his senior year to truly start at Ohio State. You know, things happen though. Sometimes, you know, guys get banged up and then Evan Pryor really flashes how good he is. Maybe he works himself into a, a secondary role there. Maybe they want to limit Trevion Henderson's workload, or maybe Henderson says, I have to sit out rest of the season. Like, I'm banged up. I'm already going to get first round draft capital. So Evan Pryor is just super, super good recruit. I mean, a top six running back in the class, top 100 overall player in the class. And he was very fast coming out of high school. He's a 4.3 guy, and he looked like it. I mean, out there, he was just burning dudes in high school. And now he's been bulking up to nearly 200 pounds. He's 198 now, and he's retaining that explosiveness. Like, he showed that this spring in the spring game, where he looked smooth, he looked explosive still, and bigger, right? He's beefing up for sure. So I have no concerns about his size to get above 200. And that I also think that he has good athleticism. Like, he can make a juke, he can make a cut, and then he can maintain his speed and just explode for a home run. So good system right at Ohio State. I think he's just got to wait his turn. He's not going to be a tier one guy probably this year, right? You might have to be patient with him, and you can get him for cheaper. That's the thing. It's like, even though I have him ranked here, I'm not taking him necessarily that early in a startup. Maybe now I've given him away. I'll have to take him a bit earlier than, than I anticipated, but I already have him in one league, and I'm trying to stash him anywhere I can get him, to be honest.
No, and that's very fair. And I have Pryor right there after McCray, and he's probably somebody I need to move ahead of. I definitely say I need to move him ahead of McCray. It could have just been the fact that I love Trevion so much that I was just kind of blocking out Pryor, you know, just being like, oh, he's not even going to be a thing and for another 2 years. But, that doesn't mean that he shouldn't be up there. Or he doesn't have the talent. And we see these teams like in Alabama or in Ohio State or whoever just pumping these players out. So, you know, all he needs is probably one good year, and he could still be a first round, or maybe not first round pick in the NFL draft, but, you know, second or at worst a third round draft pick in the NFL draft. And, you know, you're going to want that. So, yeah, I think I'm going to go ahead and move him up a tier. But I definitely agree with that, and you know, he has the, if he can get up above that 200, and that might be another reason why I have him a little bit lower, because BMI is pretty important in my model, and so he doesn't quite have it at the numbers that are listed, because I think I have him at 5'10 190, and that obviously doesn't mean that he can't grow from there. You know, we definitely see that all the time. So if you could see him get to that 200 205 range, then that would probably help substantially for his profile as well. But I think that just about does it for the running backs. There's a lot more. You touched on AJ Green earlier. There's a couple other players. Alton McCaskill, I don't know if you have any thoughts on him. There's some other players, you know, that are a teardrop from here for me. But, you know, some other running backs that are, you know, you should at least have on your squads, especially in deep rosters.
Yeah, great point. And honestly, I have quite a few guys in this tier that I still like. So you said Alton McCaskill. It made me so sad. I know Todd, FF Banterman, he liked McCaskill a lot. And I think he tore his ACL this spring. I'm just sad. It's like, oh, he was going to continue just dominating at Houston. And I thought he had, you know, all the size that you wanted and all the ability that you're looking for in a feature back. So bummer he'll be out, but still he's going to be up there in the rankings. Corey Kiner, LSU recruit going to Cincinnati now, so should get an opportunity for a large, large workload now that Jerome Ford is gone. So that is a guy I like. Jarquez Hunter, Auburn, Logan Diggs, Notre Dame. Kamar Whedon, who was a Bama running back, now going to SMU. He should have large opportunity there. And then, yes, I suppose you could fit in some other guys like Armani Goodwin, LSU back, or Phil Maffa, Clemson. I'm not sure exactly if they belong, but do you have additional guys that you really like there, or do you have any thoughts on those guys that I mentioned?
I'm not overly excited about really any of them. Obviously, you know, like I said, they're a teardrop from, you know, a Pryor or, you know, a Devin Neal or anything like that. With McCaskill, he has a lot of the same things that I'm looking at. He does have the receiving aspect to his game. He had 1.3 receptions per game, you know, in his freshman season. So that's, you know, a good start at the very least. He's not overly big, but, you know, he has almost a 29 BMI. So, you know, it's good enough probably, you know, and obviously we would hope that he can grow from there. We see some other guys like a Donovan Edwards or whatever, or even a little bit smaller BMI wise. So, you know, I'm perfectly fine with that. But yeah, I mean, none of these guys truly stand out here. Like a Travion Cooley, I don't know if you know anything about him. AJ Green, like you were talking about before, Jalen Wright, I don't know if you mentioned him or not. Those are kind of in a Marquise Irving. Those are the next tier for me after the prior and everything, including McCaskill. So, I mean, that's kind of what I'm looking at there. But I don't know if you have any thoughts on those guys.
Yeah, those are some great names. And I think Marquise Irving, unfortunately, they lost him to the transfer portal. Our Gophs did. I want to say he went to Oregon, but I got to double check. So you should check out there if you're interested in Irving. I think he's a fine back. I'm not sure about, you know, feature back upside just with his size, unfortunately. You know, so he is Oregon, and 175 is what he's listed at weight-wise. So I'm kind of off with that profile because I don't think he'll be dominant from a CFF production standpoint either. But at the same time, I did like him coming out. And A.J. Brown, you mentioned, or sorry, A.J. Green, Arkansas back. Yeah, I like him too. I mean, he was a good recruit, and honestly, he flashed as a freshman. He's got great speed. He's almost like a chain in a way. I mean, he ran a 10.4 in high school in 100, which is, yeah, very speedy. And he can make guys miss too through finesse or through a little bit of power. And he's already 200-plus pounds, so it's like, maybe instead of trying to draft Devin Achane, you can pivot to a speedy, bigger version in A.J. Green. I know he's not going to obviously put up maybe the same efficiency, the same production that Achane might, but that could be a sneaky move for listeners. Otherwise, you said Jalen Wright, Tennessee back. I do like him. I actually really liked him coming out. I drafted him in a couple leagues, and he sees – carries as a true freshman. He didn't, you know, dominate. He's not going to take over the lead back role right away, but maybe he does work into more of that 1A role this season. So I like that. And he has athleticism to boot with his 200 pound or 200 plus pound size frame.
Yeah. And like you said, with AJ Green, you know, he has a very large breakaway run rate, a very high breakaway run rate. So he does have that explosive nature to his game. I don't know why collegesportsreference.com screwed up here, but they have Irving with being 5'10", 190. And so that definitely changes things if he's 5'10", 175. That's a huge difference there. And so that part is scary because I definitely thought he was a decent BMI, but now that I just changed it, he's sitting at like a 26.5, and that's not what we're looking for here. But yeah, I don't have a lot to add about, you know, any of these guys. I honestly have not done a lot of research beyond what the model's spitting out for these tiers, because I just don't think that they're overly exciting. But, you know, once again, I'm doing a C2C draft next month. You're doing the same draft. And, you know, like, these are guys that we probably need to know at the very least for C2C purposes, even if it's not necessarily for Devy purposes. And, you know, Irving could be somebody for C2C, you know, that might be okay. I don't know if he'll get the job there in at Oregon or not. You know, Aaron was pointing out that we're already around an hour, and so maybe it's something that we go ahead and talk about the wide receivers and tight ends on a different pod, and that's probably a good idea. So maybe we'll try and get back next week and do another one rather than skipping a month. You know, I don't know. I'll have to see if I can tie Aaron down, and maybe we can even get Duchesne's to pop on and give us a little bit of insight on who he likes there as well. But if we want to continue on with the running backs for another minute, there's really a huge teardrop for me after those guys that we just talked about. Is there anyone else that you truly believe needs to be talked about?
I think it's fair to talk about Montrell Johnson, who followed his coach, and he's going to be at Florida. So he was at Louisiana. Very productive as a true freshman. And you may have already mentioned him, but I mean, he had 800 rushing yards, he had 12 touchdowns, and that's without even winning the job, lead job there as a true freshman. So I'm not really wowed by his play. You know, I think he might be limited if you're looking ahead to if the NFL will like him. He might be limited from his elusiveness, from his burst and his speed. So I could see him kind of bombing the combine in a way. He might be more of a Ryquil Armstead, if you remember him, or maybe he's a Quandre White from this year as far as how he actually plays. But, I mean, if he's the lead back at Florida, we saw, well, Damian Pierce was not even a good prospect really this year. We saw him go fairly early in the draft, get a good landing spot. So who knows what could happen with Montrell Johnson, because the coaching staff already, you know, knows him. They're familiar with him, and it seems like he's going to be the maybe 1A back at Florida, so big-time program. So I guess he's another name that we could throw out there. And then if you're looking for like a C2C or more of a CFF producer, Ontario Brown, NIU, yeah, that's an option for sure. You might get a nice workload. And then you can start going down there and say, okay, maybe a guy hiding in the wings, Audric Estime, Notre Dame, right? Maybe he just takes the Braylon Allen route as this big back and just forces his way into relevancy and puts up some big stats. So I could see something like that happen, but I think we've mentioned all the names that I get pretty excited about.
Yeah, it's funny. Montrell Johnson and Ontario Brown were actually the next two players after Jalen Wright for me. So now I don't even know the last name that you just said. I couldn't even repeat it. I don't even think he's on my list from Notre Dame. I think you said it was, but I do think it's interesting with Johnson. And now he came from Louisiana, right? Is that correct? He thinks, or, you know, like one thing with the model, obviously you're looking at like a Sun Belt player doesn't have the greatest chances of making it to the NFL. And so, you know, he's going to be lower in the model because of that. But now that he's at Florida, that could change. So if he just does what he did at Louisiana, he's automatically going to be good in or better in the model, just because he's in the SEC and a Power Five, you know, conference, so on and so forth. So he doesn't wow me, but he would be a pretty substantial difference. Like I said, you know, if he can just do what he already did. Now he doesn't really profile as a receiving back from what he did at Louisiana at the very least. You know, he has a decent BMI, didn't seem to be overly bursty or anything. So maybe not somebody I'm going to be overly excited about, but like I said, he would move up if he can just be that 1A at Florida. And so definitely somebody to keep an eye on and something that you should go ahead and look at there. And then Ontario Brown, he had no receptions. I don't know if I don't really know a lot about him. Once again, I don't know if he even got that many touches, but I don't think he had any receptions at all. So that's definitely not going to help him there unless he can, you know, do a little bit more in that aspect. But he does have really feature size, you know, from what I'm seeing here. And he definitely does have a little bit more of that breakaway run ability. So I can see that. But once again, small school, not somebody that I would maybe be overly excited about. But I think we've talked enough about all of these running back prospects. Hopefully this guy helped you guys out a little bit. I did not realize we were going to talk about the QBs and the running backs for over an hour, but we did. Now, I guess that's a good thing. Hopefully we didn't bore you too much and we gave you some good info. But like I said, I think it's important to know how to feel about the class. You know, people have been talking about the 23 class is the greatest thing ever for so long, but not too many people have talked about the 24 class and how to feel about it. And I think it's important to look at that and say, you know, should I be coveting these 24 picks? And I think from what we've seen, there's some good players here. And so, you know, maybe it's not going to be as good or deep as the 23 class. And we have no idea at this point just yet. But, you know, I do think it's not something where you just want to throw away these picks. You know, you should probably covet them a little bit at the very least. Do you have any final thoughts about the 24 class, at least the QBs and the running backs, before we go ahead and get out of here, Aaron?
Not necessarily. I'll just, you know, always say that there's plenty of time for these guys to emerge. We've only seen the one season out of these players. And there's going to be lesser known guys who are going to rise. So don't panic too much and say, yeah, 2024 seems like a bad class. I'm just going to trade away those first. It's like, okay. I mean, let's not compare it, of course, to 2023, but I still think that there's plenty of talent there. So we will talk about some of the talented wide receiver guys next time. I think that there's some wide receiver talent in this class too.
I like the fact that we at least have like a clear top tier of players in the 24 class, and that makes me feel better about the class because, you know, some are going to fall off, but others are going to step up, and that just, you know, makes me feel pretty good about it. But we'll go ahead and dive into the wide receivers and the tight ends as soon as possible. Like I said, hopefully we can get Aaron back next week and possibly even get Duchesne's. And for now, we're going to go ahead and cash out.